This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of July, 2015. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County and discuss the weather forecast, too. The guys at Earth Risk Technology in Chicago will join us at the end of our time together. Along the way, we'll take up the weather forecast and talk about conditions on the ground across the Midwest on this Monday afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for a Monday, July contract in the corn pit at 433.5, up 6.25. September at 440.75, up 6 for the day on its settlement price. In December, or the new crop corn at 451.75, 6.75 higher. The March at 461.75, up 7 for the day. Soy complex bean futures, July contract $10.45.25, up 1.75. August at 1037.5, 5.5 higher. September 5.5 higher at $10.29.5, and November the new crop at $10.28.5, up 6.25 cents. January futures 10.34.5, up 6.25. Next year's July at $10.17.25, 4.25 cents the gain there. Bean meal futures finished $2 higher in the July at $3.68. Bean oil at $32.65, up 34 cents. Chicago soft red winter wheat up 5.25, 5.86.75. The settlement price is September at 5.75.75. Down 0.25 cents. The hard red finished up 0.5 in the hard red July at 5.58 even. Live cattle futures in the August at $146.57.5, finished 90 cents lower per 100 pounds. The October down 72.5 at 149.70. August feeder cattle at 211.27.5, up 2.5 at this hour. September at 209.50. Third down 12.5 cents. And lean hogs in the July contract currently 22.5 cents higher. At $79.20, the August up 32.5 at $73.97.5. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. August crude oil, $52.11 a barrel, down 63 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.65.5, that's 6 tenths of a cent higher. Gasoline on the RBOB, or the wholesale price, $1.94 1/10 of a cent per gallon, down 7 4/10 of a cent today. And the heating oil, or diesel fuel, 2 cents lower at $1.71 9/10. Natural gas at $2.86 8/10. Up 9 8/10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is around 216 points higher at 17,885. The U.S. dollar is climbing up 0.833 at 97 even. And the gold futures on the afternoon are now trading at $1,156.25 per troy ounce. That's down $1.75. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign. First things first, there is a heat advisory throughout the afternoon this afternoon. Noon, and then a flash flood advisory through this evening. Tonight, scattered showers, some thunderstorms. Some of those storms could be severe and produce really heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy, a low of 72 on south winds at 7 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall for the evening set at 50%, a 40% chance tomorrow. Mostly sunny and 86. West-northwest winds tomorrow at 8 to 13, gusting as high as 16. And then things begin to clear out. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 65, winds out of the north at 6 to 11. Wednesday, sunny skies and 83, north-northeast winds at 9. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 65. Thursday, a 30% chance of rainfall, but mostly partly sunny and 84. Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, but mostly sunny and 88. And Saturday, sunny and 89. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's a Monday afternoon, the 13th day of July. Let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to see how the marketplace move throughout the day. Thanks, Kurt. I think it's mostly about the weather. I suspect you have been dealing with it on the phone a lot this afternoon.
Yeah, this weather top foremost center. You know, a lot of conversation, and you know, it's kind of floated around throughout the last 2 months. You know, from the south to Missouri to Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and just a large area has been hit. I mean, there's certain areas that look good until last week, and it's just amazing the concern out there. We'll get a little bit of a view on this afternoon's crop conditions report. There's ideas that corn overall could decline 1 to 2% out of the good to excellent category. Beans are expected to be kind of stable. I think we'd see a little bit more deterioration according to what I've been hearing and seeing. I know we're hearing and seeing the worst areas sticking out like a sore thumb. But the West, fairly good. When you look at Iowa corn, 82% good to excellent. Minnesota, 84% good to excellent. It's going to be awful hard to raise that a whole lot more. I mean, that's pretty good numbers. But we got room for the Eastern Belt to drop some more, like Illinois corn, 61%, Indiana 48%, Ohio 45%. There's still a little room there to go. As a nation, we were 69% good to excellent. So we'll you know, see what those numbers are this afternoon. Beans last week, 63% good to excellent. You know, we feel we could see a little bit more deterioration there. But, you know, as of right now, the trade's kind of waiting to see if those numbers are unchanged. But it's a concern if it's your farm. It doesn't take much moisture now to really, you know, continue to play havoc. You know, we feel we're losing, continue to use yield potential here as we move down the road, Todd.
How much premium has the marketplace built in, and is it still trying to build in losses at this time?
It's a good question. Basically, corn's rallied almost a dollar off the low. You know, these beans, almost $1.40 off the low. So we've priced in, you know, quite a bit of premium here over just the last few weeks. You know, if we continue to see deterioration, we've got some more to go. It put the market at technical swing point. November beans, 1050. If you look at the long-term price charts there, you know, if we continue to stay above 1050, it's going to open the speculative trade to come in and push this market higher yet. There's ideas we could run on up to this 1150 area, and if we lose quite a few acres and lower that yield a little bit, there's even ideas we could move on up to 12.5. You know, whether people agree with that or not, the technical picture is set up to take a substantial run here if we have a little bit of fundamental support. Corn 450 close above its supportive. Trade absorbed a lot of selling pressure at 4.5. There was a ton of hedge pressure for say or selling interest there at 4.5, especially from, you know, Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan, some of these outer areas. It's looking at a fairly decent crop. So as a producer, though, you can't get wound up and, you know, not sell anything on the way up. You know, if you're in a good area, you got to have these orders sitting above the market to take advantage of these up moves here to get some stuff priced.
What do you think the size of the crop could be once we get to August if we shut the rains off and we have relatively normal conditions going forward?
Well, that's a good question. That's going to be a tough one to figure. Farmer doesn't know. I don't know. Nobody knows.
How about ending stocks rather than the size of the crop at this point?
That's a great point. because what's happening is when you come in here and start lowering production, demand should back off a little bit because the market goes higher to slow demand. Same thing on the downside. And some analysts, when they play with the numbers in here, they don't adjust demand as you go. Currently, I believe we're probably seeing a corn carryout of about 1.2, 1.25. I think we could be lower than that as we get past August. Bean carryout, I believe we're around 225 million bushel, and I believe we'll slip below 200 million bushels from the standpoint there's a ton of acres not planted, but that's going to show up on a real low harvested acre number, and plus you lower the yield a little bit. At times that supply-demand balance sheet up quite a bit. So this has really offset the lack of Chinese buying. Now, if Chinese come in here and start buying here a little bit more aggressively than what they've been, that's going to be the excitement here, even though maybe the conditions might improve.
Now, speaking of the outside markets, China in particular at this point, other things, are we satisfied with what little agreement we know about on the Greek and European Union front, that it has settled that economy down some?
Well, yeah, it's kind of taken the edge off. Dollar is sharply higher today, but yet grains closed higher. And if you're watching that type of spread activity. But the metals are stable. The Dow's on the rise. Bonds are stable in here. This is what, about the third go-around. They're going to continue to have problems down the road. Overall, Greece economies, a lot smaller than some of the states we have here are in. And I think it's more of a conversational piece. I mean, there could be some rollover domino effect from it, but I think stable is the correct term, like you mentioned there, Todd.
Okay, hey, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking with you in another week.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That, of course, Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. There are several items in today's agricultural news. China's stock market plummet last week raised concerns, of course, about a slowing global economy. But one agricultural economist is not sounding the alarm bells just yet over America's largest soybean export market. America Farm Bureau Federation senior ag economist Bob Young says China's stock market has taken a beating, losing some $3.5 trillion in value over the past month. But Young argues this does not spell doom for America's largest soybean export market.
I think it's important for us to make sure we separate the stock market from the economy. You might make a case that there was, as some of our Fed chairmen have used in the past, some irrational exuberance going on in the Chinese stock market. I think that they'll work their way through this, and their economy is going to continue to perform just as our economy has continued to perform. We've had some substantial devaluations as well.
But there is no denying Chinese economy is slowing down as Beijing fails to fully embrace tough economic reforms versus centralized planning and state controls. Young admits China's slowing economy is taking a toll on U.S. farm exports.
Yes, it will, has and will. Their slowing of their economy is certainly having an effect on commodity markets around the world. The strong dollar is certainly having a role, stiff competition out of South America. There are just a lot of things that are kind of playing at the stage of the game on our export markets going in there.
China remains America's number one soybean export market with a market share of 63%. Mexico and Japan are second and third, but at just 7 and 5%, respectively. Well, last Friday was a busy one for USDA in Washington, D.C. They were busy with the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. One other note came from there Friday afternoon. USDA announced Friday its selection of Robert Johansson as chief economist. Secretary Vilsack made the announcement, stating Johansson is highly respected for his analysis and experienced insight. As chief economist, Johansson is responsible for USDA's agricultural forecast and projections,
and for advising the Secretary of Agriculture on economic implications of programs, regulations, and legislative proposals. Johansson, of course, has already been serving as the acting chief economist since the retirement of Joe Glauber. We'll stay with Washington, D.C., but move to the Hill, where the National Corn Growers Association will host another rally for rural America on Wednesday of this week. The rally is scheduled for Capitol Hill to call attention to the EPA's proposal to cut renewable fuel standards for corn ethanol by some 3.75 billion gallons through next year. NCGA expects more than 250 farmers to attend the rally. Featured speakers will include U.S. senators, U.S. representatives, and the president of NCGA, Chip Bowling. NCGA held a similar rally in Kansas City last month at the site of the EPA's public hearing on the RFS proposal. Wednesday's rally starts at noon at the Upper Senate Park on Capitol Hill. And finally today, this note from the House Appropriations Agriculture Subcommittee. It approved an amendment to the Agriculture Appropriations Bill banning imports of Brazilian and Argentine beef. The amendment was adopted just 1 week after USDA gave approval for imports of beef from select areas of Brazil and Argentina. The decision was made despite concerns over potential threats of foot and mouth disease to U.S. cattle. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Now is probably not the time to spray for diseases in the corn crop. University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger says foliar fungicides should not be used on the corn crop just prior to pollination.
We certainly don't want to do that before pollination time. And we would still say the thing we normally say, and that is have the disease and consider that it's likely to keep developing at the time that the decision needs to be made.
Nafziger is not opposed to making a foliar fungicide application, but he is fully aware it does not make as much economic sense today as it did when corn was worth $6 a bushel.
It's just that with the price of corn, of course, it takes more bushels than it did a few years ago to pay for that application, and so we need to keep that in mind as well.
The University of Illinois has not ever advocated using a foliar fungicide for yield boost. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming posted not long after it airs on our radio stations. Information from University of Illinois Extension and the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences here on the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign, and a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's under WILLAGE-letter. That's Will Ag E-letter. You can subscribe and unsubscribe just as easily. It's all at Illinois Public Media's WillAg.org website. Conditions on the ground in the Midwest are changing rapidly. Things have not been normal this growing season across the Corn Belt. Normal is what USDA uses as a starting point when predicting how much grain farmers will harvest. It begins with a trend line yield, not an average yield. The trend is a better forecaster because farmers almost always get better at raising a corn or soybean crop. This year, USDA is using 166.8 bushels to the acre for corn and 46 for soybeans. It's already backed off the planted acreage for corn, but increased it for soybeans. All these numbers are likely to change in the August reports, thinks University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
We'll get the August crop production report that will have the first survey results on yield potential. Those are always a little bit tenuous, particularly on soybeans because of it's early in the growing season, but I think most people expect that yield will come in a little short of what USDA is using in their current balance sheet on both corn and soybeans. And then importantly for soybeans, we'll have the resurvey on acreage, plus any additional acreage information that's picked up in the crop production survey. And the number I will be looking at there, in addition to the planted acres, will be how much abandoned acres might we expect for the new crop, given the wet weather we've had. So I think the production and supply side of the balance sheet has the potential to change quite a bit moving forward over the next 2 months.
The fact is, USDA's balance sheet changed quite a bit this month. While the size of the expected soybean crop grew by 35 million bushels, the number that really counts, the one projecting how much will be left over at the end of the year, dropped by 50 million bushels. Corn ending stocks dropped 172 million bushels. It caused USDA to put the season's average cash price for the two crops at $3.75 for corn and $9.25 for soybeans. Most farmers can get more than that today at their local elevator, says Good.
Price being above the high end of projections, prices being above the spring insurance price, there may be some marketing to do. But I think most people are going to be a little cautious how aggressive they want to get because of the possibility that the balance sheet will tighten up a bit further from what we're looking at right now. So you can't argue with some sales, but I think caution at this point.
USDA's next set of reports on the corn and soybean crops are due August 12 at 11 a.m. Central Time. The agency will update the monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimates and release the first crop production report of the year. On this Monday, we're joined by Brian Stark at the Andersons to take up the cash grain segment. Thanks, Brian, for being with us. You're busy there, I think, at the elevator taking in grain. Tell me about that today.
Yeah, we have some corn still moving in off the farm, but obviously wheat still coming in out of the bin. Not much wheat has been cut here in the last week to 10 days. I would guesstimate we're probably 20 to 25% wheat still left in the field, unfortunately, and I say that only because the weather forecast hasn't cooperated for those producers to cut, and most of it's to the north and east. But as we move forward, obviously, cash wheat basis has really weakened here in the last week, simply because of the difference in quality in the markets for milling quality and feed quality. Feed quality wheat is essentially worth the price of corn, and right now I believe the corn wheat spread is about $1.50. You have to check my math, but roughly around those figures. So pretty steep discount for wheat that's off grade.
And most of the wheat coming in what condition?
I would say it falls anywhere on both sides of the equation. We've seen some good quality, we've seen some poor quality, and obviously the market is anxious to find a little bit more quality wheat, and obviously from the feed wheat perspective, that may weigh on things given the supply of corn what we have carrying in moving forward. But the carry, I think, in the wheat futures is having a hard time figuring out what exactly storage is worth given the dichotomy between the two quality grades that we're seeing this year.
You mentioned that you were getting truckloads of corn in. Are those sales already on the books or new sales?
No, I would say we've, in the last week to 10 days, guys have contracted some corn to take advantage of the upswing in the market. And obviously with these corn closing above 450 psychologically, I think people will be patient as we move forward on making any new sales, at least on new crop, while they continue to liquidate their old crop ownership.
What's your thought about basis as we move forward in the next week or so?
I would say steady to maybe slightly weaker on the corn side. The end user seems to be getting all that he wants. Beans, pretty similar story, although it feels a little bit snugger on old crop bean stocks in the countryside than it does on corn.
Thanks so much for being with us today. What are your bids?
Cash corn tonight, we are 420. New crop corn is 435. Cash soybeans, 1032. Let's start again. Cash corn, 426. New crop corn, 434. Cash soybeans, 1038. New crop beans are 1008.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Thank you.
It's National Ice Cream Day. It's also National French Fries Day. As early as the 1680s, potatoes were fried in the Spanish Netherlands. French fry recipes began showing up in U.S. cookbooks as early as 1813, but date back in French cookbooks to at least 1755. On this day in agricultural history in 1568, the dean of St. Paul's Cathedral developed a method to bottle beer. In 1779, William Headley was born, an English coal mine official and inventor. He was probably the first to build a commercially viable steam engine dependent on friction between the wheels and rails, as opposed to a geared track. In 1794, James Lynn died. Lynn was a Scottish physician who recommended that fresh citrus fruit and lemon juice be implemented in the seamen's diet to eliminate scurvy. Sir Gilbert Blane made Lynn's suggestion a requirement, and scurvy was eradicated in the British Navy. By the way, the Dutch had been using citrus to combat scurvy since at least 1594, 2 centuries earlier. And in 1937, the first Krispy Kreme donut was sold in Salem, North Carolina. The first donuts went to grocery stores, but it was not long before people began stopping by Vernon Rudolph's donut operation and asking for hot donuts to go. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check the Monday afternoon weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Earth Risk Technology, where he serves as their senior weather analyst. Mark, thanks for being with us. I've been watching pretty intently all day long a really well-formed storm that rolled out of the north and has moved across the Midwest and the nation's middle section down into Kentucky and Tennessee. Now tell me about it, please.
Yeah, well, this is a complex that developed overnight across portions of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and then tracked to the southeast as we went through the overnight hours and now during the day here on July 13th. And this is a complex of several complexes that will be forming on the northeast periphery of this ridge of high pressure that's now kind of situated across the south central U.S. And it's pretty typical at this time of year. Once we get this type of ridgier environment, you get these storm complexes firing up. But this one here over the past 12 hours, pretty unique in that it's actually held its ground for hundreds of miles here across the Corn Belt.
And you mentioned that it's one of many, is that right? So how often are we going to get these? And is it just over a short 24, 36-hour period or something longer?
Well, we see that here, at least as we go through this week, there's going to be more of these systems kind of primarily in the same region here as what we had over the past half a day or so, as these complexes fire up north in the areas of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and then track towards the southeast. And so we see that here affecting much of Illinois here, Indiana, Ohio, and parts of Iowa, Minnesota. As we go into next week, it does look like that zone then shifts a bit more to the north. So actually, for some of the wetter areas here in Illinois, Indiana, Jason areas, it does look like there will be some relief here coming up, at least with the main rain development here shifting off to the north. So with the impressive rainfall totals here that we've seen in July, which is a continuation of June here in some areas, it looks like there will be a relief, but not until next week.
So we have a little heat, although it's not oppressively hot. We have some heat indexed warnings out there on watches for this afternoon, but it's a lot of humidity. But the temperatures haven't gotten horrible yet. What kind of conditions will we go through over the next week then?
Yeah, we are going to see temperatures kind of bounce around between normal levels on the quote-unquote cooler days and above normal levels to about 3, 4, 5 degrees, which is not very extreme, but it is happening here during the time of season when normals reach their peak. But, you know, as we go through corn pollination across the Midwest here, bottom line, we don't see any kind of major issues here evolving here as there remains a lack of widespread or long duration heat. There will be some heat at times in the western and southern parts of the Midwest, more fringe areas, kind of like what we're seeing here today, but we think that that's really the extent of things going forward from any kind of significant heat.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much for taking the time with me today. I do appreciate it. That, of course, is Mark Russo. He is the senior weather analyst at Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up the closing market report.